You're listening to WRFG Atlanta. WRFG provides a voice for those who have been traditionally denied open access to the broadcast media through the involvement of a broad base of community elements to guarantee that access. In the utilization of the station's facilities and in its programs, the following communities will receive first priority. Those who continue to be denied free and open access to the broadcast media, and those who suffer oppression or exploitation based upon class, race, sex, age, creed, sexual orientation, disability, or immigrant status.
One morning, Maurice Bishop take over Grenada from the ruler. And while he was in America, he spoke to President Carter and on phone negotiated with Canada. But the British Empire say, sorry, Gary, this is an internal affair, just like in Cuba. Hey, Gary, hide in the Hilton. He didn't want to come down to face the charges of murder and corruption. People of the Caribbean, now is the time for action. Inside of Gary's head was corruption, so the bishop led Grenadians on a mission to build his Caribbean island. He took it by force with a bishop revolution. We'll go down in history, revolutionary, the way the Grenada people take over their country. England, Guyana, and Jamaica, Barbados, States, and Canada recognize the bishop as the Grenada leader. But down in Trinidad, the doctor didn't reply. While Uganda's Idi Amin is another victim, the combined islands say no, bishop is a Fidel Castro. But like Rhodesia, England prime minister had to go, yeah. People of the Caribbean, listen. Now is the time for action. In the sight of Gary's head was corruption, so the bishop led Grenadians on a mission to build his Caribbean island. He took it by force with a bishop revolution. Gary's head got rotten. All of a sudden, he turned into poison. Here is one example. You must have heard down in Antigua, Mr. Bell imprisoned while tasked. Now Grenada say they want to carry for murder. When we give them a cross, we make them a walk box. But they fool us like Cyclops playing Odysseus. That is why they hang Ali Bhutto in his butt was corrupt. And it was nobody's fault. Ali still had too much salt. Yeah, leaders of the Caribbean, always the time for action. Inside of Gary's head was corruption, so the bishop led Grenadians on a mission to build his Caribbean island. He took it by force with a bishop revolution. The bishop caught the disease of Sir Harry Gary. Aye, aye, telling man like Percy all over the country. Freedom of writing and talking, the PRG end up banning. The torchlight newspaper was this object of the matter. Winston White will agree with me, there is no democracy. And I'm speaking quite frankly, Grenadians, are you free? I will explain, I was singing, Gary, wipe the tears from your eye. Big boy, Gary, don't cry, Maurice Bishop must tell us why. Because the tax newspaper backpedaling Spain, Henry Bundy, Page, and Skankin. Mass confusion for his leadership in St. Lucia. While the politics in America is hot like fire. The bishop not calling elections in Grenada, but the munitions that are pouring in from Cuba. Grenada! One, 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 one,
Welcome, everybody, to Rap Revolutionary African Perspectives. You just heard Maurice Bishop Revolution by President Lilly. The voice you're hearing now is Musa, and joining me this week is my co-host, Artresia. This episode of Revolutionary African Perspectives will discuss U.S. imperialism by learning about the Grenadian Revolution and the U.S. invasion of Grenada in October 1983. If you're enjoying listening to us here on Rap Radio, we appreciate you joining us and not turning that dial. You can find and listen to previous episodes at Rap online at www.wrfg.org/rap. Again, that's www.wrfg.org/rap. And a quick disclaimer, keep in mind that the views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of WRFG's board of directors, staff, or volunteers, but you know what they do represent, y'all?
Us here at RAP.
Revolutionary African Perspectives. And a big shout out to Taylor, who's helping on the board, and of course, Abayomi. Happy to let listeners know it is Abayomi's first time running the board today. Brown, 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 brown.
Hey.
Yes, yes. So let me go ahead and turn it over to my good sister, Artresia. There's so much going on in the world. There's a new news item every week. I know you also travel a lot. But what are you up to this week, and how have you been getting by?
Yeah, I'll say, actually, I've had a really good past week. So I went to New Orleans and recorded an oral history with a veteran Panther member, Malik Rahim. And that was actually great. This man was hilarious from start to finish. And New Orleans was real cool. And then I hurried back home because I could not miss my baby daddy, Freddie Gibbs. Okay. So Freddie Gibbs was performing in Atlanta at the Tabernacle on Saturday. So I did that on Saturday. Mm. And then this week, I mean, I guess I'm getting a lot of live concert action because I'm going to go see Thundercat on Wednesday.
Yes, yes. And, you know, I'll be there, too, seeing Thundercat. So, listeners, if you happen to come see Thundercat this Wednesday, you might bump into some Revolutionary African Perspectives co-hosts. Also, listeners, this week will be Dartresia's birthday.
Wow.
Yes. Dartresia is turning 21 years old. And so shout out to Dartresia. Happy birthday. I don't think Freddie Gibbs is aware that he's your baby daddy, but you said it so casually, I almost believed it a little bit. But with all the joking aside, I'm glad to hear you've had a week and a month filled with music and good travel and some important oral histories with our Black Panther elders who are still around, still kicking, and who need our support, which makes me think of the Mutual Aid for Veteran Black Panthers Fund that Community Movement Builders runs, which is a mutual aid fund that helps provide funding and support to dozens of different Black Panther elders throughout the country every month. And so that's what that made me think of, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I think I'm glad you brought that up. It's really good to continue to highlight our veteran Panthers. And also, I believe Imam Jamil Al-Amin celebrated his birthday last week. So, again, free all political prisoners. And we're going to get into this segment. So, today we're talking about Grenada, the revolution, so the New Jewel Movement, as well as the invasion of Grenada by the U.S. So, for listeners who are not familiar, on March 13, 1979, Grenada's Prime Minister, Eric Gary, was ousted in a coup organized by the New Jewel Movement and led by Maurice Bishop. So Bishop was installed as Prime Minister of the newly established People's Revolutionary Government, And in 1979, the Socialist New Jewel movement had overthrown its corrupt and unpopular dictator in an almost bloodless coup. And for years, Gary ruled through fear. His secret police, the Mongoose Gang, had been supplied by the U.S.-backed Pinochet dictatorship in Chile. Okay. And the Gary regime, much like the Batista dictatorship in Cuba, had lost public support and remained in power through rigged elections and just general like terrorism and fear mongering. And so the revolution launched by the New Jewel movement, the Revo, as they were referred to, affectionately dubbed, was immensely popular among the poor and working people of Grenada. Again, immensely popular among the poor and working people of Grenada. And by 1982, the island had a literacy campaign underway. New schools had been built, and unemployed youth in the countryside benefited from new agricultural cooperatives. Grenada welcomed Cuban aid. So that is like teachers, health professionals. Again, health professionals. I think we've talked before on RAP about how Cuba's biggest export has been doctors. And so at the, you know, very early stages of this revolution, Cuba sent teachers, health professionals, and construction workers to work on the new international airport, which aimed to replace the antiquated and dangerous airstrip that was up in the mountains to, you know, support with transportation on this very tiny island. And so in just 4 years, unemployment was cut from 49% to 14% under the New Jewel movement. And instead of advertising cigarettes and booze and colorful billboards throughout the island, they promoted education. Okay. Each one teach one. If you know, teach. If you don't, learn. And education is production too. And I'm curious, Musa, what does that remind you of? These billboards that promote education.
Well, it makes me think of any time I've traveled to Cuba, or honestly, any socialist country where you have really strict restrictions on businesses being allowed to market and advertise. So listeners can imagine you drive through the U.S. and you look at all of the billboards and you see crash injury lawyers and restaurants and all these businesses and TV shows. When you drive through a place like Cuba, the billboards have educational messages. They have messages about not catcalling and anti-sexism messages. There's a really popular one in Cuba that says, aquí no se rinde nadie. Here, nobody gives up, right? So these are the kind of messages and messaging you get throughout the socialist world, and Grenada was no exception. And it's very stark when you compare it to the kind of advertising and propaganda and messaging that we're bombarded with here in the U.S. that we think is normal.
Yeah. And so I just did a quick rundown of like a highlight of some facts about the Grenadian Revolution. And the reason why we're focusing on this month is because October is the month that the Reagan administration completely destroyed the New Jewel movement. And this revolutionary, the revolution that had happened in Grenada. And we thought it was important, you know, to continue this thread of talking about U.S. imperialism this month, that it would be important to actually talk about a country that is so close to us right here. But instead of listening to me, I'm going to let y'all hear from Prime Minister Maurice Bishop himself in a speech he gave.
Our people understand the value and the benefit of free secondary education, because they know now that once their children are able to pass the common entrance exam and get into secondary school, they no longer have to worry about finding those fees, which, as you know, for agricultural workers, for example, were very often impossible. But not just free secondary education, but in effect free university education. Moving from a situation before the revolution, where in the last year of Gary, 1978, just three people went abroad on university scholarships, and they happened to be Gary's daughter and one of his other minister's daughter. Moving from that situation, in the first 6 months of the revolution, 109 students were able to go abroad on free university scholarships. Our people are more and more getting to understand what we mean when we say that education to us is liberation. That education is a strategic concern of this government. That is why that this year, 1982, is the year we have named the year of political and academic education, because we understand the importance of bringing education to our people. Following the establishment of the Center for Popular Education program in early 1980, within 1 year of the work of the CPE program, the illiteracy figure in Grenada was reduced to 2% of the entire population. The people understand that in areas, in all areas of their basic needs, real attempts are being made to solve these problems. 2.5 million gallons more of water, pipe-borne water, are flowing into the homes of our Grenadians at this time. Before the revolution, under 30% of all homes had potable water. The people understand what it means when electrification is brought to their village. The people understand what it means when they know that by the end, the middle of next year, we would have doubled the electricity output and capacity in our country, and therefore more people would have the possibility of electricity. Our people, therefore, sisters and brothers, have a greater and deeper understanding of what the revolution means and what it has brought to them. They certainly understand very, very clearly that when some people attack us on the ground of human rights, when some people attack us on the ground of constituting a threat to the national security of other countries, our people understand that is foolishness. They know the real reason has to do with the fact of the revolution and the benefits that the revolution are bringing to the people of our country. The real reason for all of this hostility is because some perceive that what is happening in Grenada can lay a new socio-economic and political path of development. They give all kinds of reasons and excuses, some of them credible, some utter rubbish. There's an interesting one that we saw very recently in a secret report of the State Department. I want to tell you about that one, so you can reflect on that one. That secret report made this point, that Grenada is different to Cuba and Nicaragua, and the Grenada Revolution is in one sense even worse, I'm using their language, than the Cuban and Nicaraguan revolutions, because the people of Grenada and the leadership of Grenada speaks English and therefore can communicate directly to the people of the United States. I can see from your applause, sisters and brothers, that you agree with the report. But I want to tell you what that same report also said, and said that also made us very dangerous. And that is that the people of Grenada and the leadership of Grenada are predominantly black. said that 95% of our population is black, and they had a correct statistic. And if we have 95% of predominantly African origin in our country, then we can have a dangerous appeal to 30 million black people in the United States. Now, that aspect of the report clearly is one of the more sensible ones. But, sisters and brothers, how do we evaluate other sides of the report? Like when they say that Grenada violates human rights. When they say to us, how come you have detainees? What about the press? What about elections? When they say to us, where are your elections? They don't turn around at the same time and say to their friends in South Africa, where are your elections? To us that elections must be held, and if you don't have elections, then you can't expect support, and unless you have elections, then we can't give you the normal treatment. We say Salvador Allende of Chile. Salvador Allende of Chile was elected in September 1970 by the people of Chile. Allende did not take power through a revolution. Allende did not form a militia. Allende did not grab any land or property. Allende had no political detainees. Allende did not crush the press. He did not close down the parliament. He did not suspend the Constitution. He played by every rule they wrote, but they killed him still. These people understand very well that a revolution means a new situation. Revolution means that the abuses and excesses of the violent, reactionary, and disruptive minority has to be crushed so that the majority interest can prevail. When the Americans had their revolution in 1776, it took them 13 years to call their election. They talk about detainees, but when the American Revolution came in 1776, 600,000 people were detained in this country. 100,000 Americans in the first week of the American Revolution, 100,000 fled to Canada. Thousands were locked up without charge or trial. Hundreds were shot. And the counter-revolutionaries after the American Revolution They had no right to vote. They had no right to teach. They had no right to preach. They had no right to a job. Their land was confiscated without payment. So when the falsifiers of history try to pretend that the American Revolution was a Boston Tea Party, was a very bloody Tea Party. That's something that very often happens in all revolutions, the spontaneous upheaval of the masses did not really happen in Grenada. A church-based organization in Washington called EPICA wrote a book last year on Grenada. They called it Grenada, the Peaceful Revolution. We can understand why. So when these elements come and make these statements, we understand only too well where they are coming from. They understand that in Grenada, no one is ever interfered with for what he says. No one is ever interfered with for what he writes. In fact, today, criticism is deeper than ever in the society in a constructive way. But our people also understand that the first law of the revolution is that a revolution must survive, must consolidate, so more benefits can come to them. And because of this fact, the revolution has laid down as a law that nobody, regardless of who you are, will be allowed to be involved in any activity surrounding the overthrow of the government by the use of armed violence, and anyone who moves in that direction will be ruthlessly crushed. But we also feel, sisters and brothers, that the time has in fact come for us to make another step along the way towards institutionalizing the process that we have been building for 4 years. And that is why only yesterday in Grenada, the new chairman of the Constitutional Commission arrived in our capital city, St. George's, from Trinidad and Tobago, to announce the formation of the Constitutional Commission that has now undertaken the task of drafting a new constitution for our young revolution. This constitution is not really going to look like the one that the Queen gave us in 1974. This time round, this constitution is going to come out of the bowels of our people and out of our earth. Our people will have their inputs and will decide what they want to see go into that constitution. Our new constitution also is certainly going to institutionalize and entrench the systems of popular democracy which we have been building over these past 4 years in our country. Because to us, democracy is much, much more than just an election. To us, democracy is a great deal more than just the right to put an X next to Tweedledum name or Tweedledee name every 5 years. But democracy also means, and to us it has 5 integrated components. First, accountability. People have to account to those who elect them. The second principle of democracy to us, responsibility. We don't believe in Grenada in presidents for life. or elected people for life. We believe in service for life. And when you stop serving, you must be recalled and get out of the way for somebody else to serve. The third principle. To us, the third principle of democracy is participatory mechanisms, popular participation. If we are serious about democracy, and here I would accept the definition, the well-known definition of Abraham Lincoln. Lincoln said of democracy that it is government of, for, and by the people. I accept that. It's a good definition. But if it is government of, for, and by the people, then it cannot be just government of the people you elect. It also has to be for them, and it also has to be by them. They have to have a way of participating. That is what the word by means. And if that is absent, you don't really have the democracy. We believe that it is very important for the people to have a voice in running their affairs. The ways in which we have approached this question over these years is basically twofold. One, the creation of mass organizations of our people. The National Women's Organization, the National Youth Organization, the Farmers Union, and of course the labor unions, the trade unions. Not only were the women of our country without work before the revolution, the women of our country were also the most harassed and victimized of any section of our population. Those few who were granted jobs from time to time, many of them were given those jobs only on the basis of a sexual favor. So women were being sexually exploited in return for jobs. The very first decree of the revolution was to outlaw sexual victimization and exploitation of our women in return for jobs. And going on from that, sisters and brothers, the revolution then passed a law applying to all workers in the public sector of equal pay for equal work for all of the women in the public sector in our country. We also then passed another law, more recently, a maternity leave law. And by this maternity leave law, every woman who is pregnant must be granted 3 months maternity leave, 2 months with full pay, one could be without full pay, and a guarantee of return to employment after the pregnancy. And it is because of these laws, and because...
All right, y'all. I hope you enjoyed that speech from Maurice Bishop of the New Jewel Movement in Grenada. You're listening to Revolutionary African Perspectives, and we're going to take a quick break for some PSAs.
Have you ever heard the term reproductive justice, or RJ for short? Reproductive justice is a very important idea, especially down here in the South. RJ is the human right to determine our own reproductive lives, the belief that we should be able to decide if, when, and how to have children, and the ability to parent our kids in communities that are free from exploitation, oppression, and state violence. Reproductive justice means free access to contraception like Plan B and condoms, abortion without any restriction or barriers, fertility treatments, sexual health and education, and universal health care. The freedom to raise regardless of income, location, or identity. At ARC Southeast, we educate, organize, and walk with our community towards reproductive justice. Fighting abortion bans that target already marginalized communities, we're working towards a South where all, not just the privileged, can access abortion, give birth safely, and raise children with dignity. The website to learn more about the movement and how to donate is arc-southeast.org. With community power, we can build a more just future and make reproductive justice a reality.
This has been another public service announcement from your listener-sponsored and supported community radio station, WRFG Atlanta 89.3 FM, wrfg.org.
WRFG, your independent community radio station, welcomes the 2025 Little Five Points Halloween Festival and Parade on Saturday, October 18th and Sunday, October 19th. The Halloween Parade is on Sunday, and this year will start at noon. The Little Five Points Halloween Festival and Parade is the biggest and spookiest Halloween celebration in the Southeast. It's a two-day event featuring more than 100 vendors, plus live music, wrestling, skate ramps, and much, much more. In other words, there'll be plenty for you to sink your teeth into. So come join us for this fun community celebration of diversity, equality, and inclusion. From noon to 7 p.m. on Saturday, October 18th, and again on Sunday, the 19th. The Little Five Points Halloween Festival and Parade is produced by the Little Five Points Cultural District. Please go to WRFG.org for a schedule of events, plus information about volunteer opportunities and how you can walk with WRFG in the parade.
Welcome back to Rep. The voice you're hearing now is Dertricia. But I want to talk to my comrade Musa here a little bit about the speech that we just heard from Maurice Bishop. Musa, what were some things that stood out to you from that speech?
Man, a lot stood out because Maurice Bishop is one of those people. It kind of reminds me of Malcolm X. When he speaks, you just got to shut up and listen. And there's jewels, you know, gems and jewels all throughout it. But a few things. One is there is a Pan-Africanist, you know, Pan-Africanism all throughout it. He's speaking to his people in Grenada, but he, you know, for example, mentioned the 30 million Africans in America or black people in America, in the U.S. specifically. And then even towards the end, it, you know, reminds me of reproductive justice. He's talking about the fundamental human rights that women and people who give birth should be guaranteed. 3 months paid leave and all these different things. I mean, this is Maurice Bishop is someone who is not just an extremely important revolutionary, but he was such a human. Like he centered the African human in the center of all of his liberation struggles, and I think that can't be overlooked. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I feel like every time I've listened to this speech a few times, and I found it always electrifying, and especially him highlighting that this is a predominantly black,
right,
African, you know, island country,
right,
and that the big threat to the U.S. is that they are making revolution right here in the Caribbean, English speaking. And it also reminded me of a Fred Hampton quote. Fred Hampton says, socialism is the people. You're afraid of yourself. If you're afraid of socialism, you're afraid of yourself. And I said, period.
Well, can I also ask, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't this the speech that, shout out to Dewan, the community husband, wasn't this the speech that introduced Dewan to WRFG?
Yeah, I remember him calling me and saying, oh my God, I was turning the dial in the radio, on the radio, in the car, and I just heard Maurice Bishop on the radio, and I was like, I was so disoriented, because what do you mean public radio, a community radio station playing a Maurice Bishop speech? I mean, that already told me all I needed to know about WRFG, and that's why we are here today, you know, producing our show, Revolutionary African Perspectives, on WRFG, because it spoke to me that these people really share my values, that they will uplift something so incredibly historically important. And I also want to remind listeners, even though our fund drive technically ended yesterday, you can give to WRFG at any time. You can become a sustainer and donate to us literally monthly, because you are not getting radio and media like this. And our fund drive just hit $33,328, and we need $1,700 more to meet our goal. So go ahead, call the phones, get on the internet, make a donation, all right? Because we are bringing you revolutionary African perspectives, and it is important that you support independent media. Call us at 404-523-8989, and Taylor, pick up that phone. And so I'm going to get back into some of this content and this information then about the Reagan administration. So many of us know about Reagan's dirty deeds and contempt for black people here in the United States. But our guy also carried that same fervor in his illegal invasion of the tiny island of Grenada on October 25th, 1983. So following the house arrest and assassination of Prime Minister Maurice Bishop due to divisions between Bishop and his deputy prime minister, the Reagan administration, you know, they took this opportunity. They had already been clamoring for any reason to stamp out the revolution into the Caribbean, in lockstep with the Monroe Doctrine, which effectively designates the Americas as the United States' backyard. Boo. But the people of Latin America and the Caribbean, they said the Americas more broadly are nobody's dog or in nobody's backyard. And just as they liberated themselves from European colonialism, they fought to liberate themselves from U.S. imperialism as well. But Reagan could not have another Cuba, especially not a predominantly African and English-speaking socialist revolution, setting an example for black Americans here in the U.S. And so I want to just take a quick pause for Musa to give us a little bit of context about the Reagan administration during this time.
Absolutely. Well, first you have to understand the fear of a good example is the deepest, darkest, most terrifying fear in the mind of a colonizer or an imperialist. That's the same reason why the Haitian Revolution elicited the consequences on the Haitian people. The same reason why the Cuban Revolution was met with stark repression and violent counter-revolution, right? It's because the fear of a good example spreads throughout, you know, the world, right? So if Africans in these small islands were able to pull off these revolutions, then what does it mean for Africans in the U.S.? What does it mean for Africans in Brazil? In Canada, right? So that this is a big part of it. And Reagan was anti-communism on steroids. So this is in the Cold War era, keep in mind. And anti-communism, shout out to Dr. Charisse Burton-Stelly. This is the second show in a row we shouted her out. You know, she really talks about how one of the driving factors of U.S. policy is a combination of, on one hand, the Red Scare, or the fear of communism, and on the other hand, the Black Scare, the fear of black radicals and revolution. And when it comes to Grenada or even Cuba, you have these things intertwined and tied together. And then the last thing, well, I guess one of the last things, is you have to understand domestically, Reagan was installing neoliberal austerity. So what that means is whatever safety net, whatever social services barely even already existed, he completely gutted and got rid of them. He deregulated most major industries, most notably like the air traffic controllers, Food and Drug Administration, import-export. Deregulation means that the government is doing less regulation, and therefore the capitalists who control this industry can make as many profits as possible, unregulated and unfiltered and unfettered. So this is what's happening domestically. Outwardly, he has his eyes really, really strongly for a long period set on the Caribbean and Latin America, where Latin America kind of intersects with the Caribbean. And a few of those examples would be like Nicaragua. In Nicaragua, he funded literal terror groups and rebel armies that he funneled arms to them, resources. He backed the right-wing government and the Contras, and essentially you had hundreds upon hundreds, or I should say tens of thousands, of Nicaraguans who died as a result, who were murdered by these forces that he armed. In Guatemala, you had the same exact thing. There's a popular socialist movement in Guatemala. He very violently squashes it by funneling arms, cash, weaponry, food aid and things to the right-wing government that then literally commits genocide against its own people, killing estimated, I've seen, between 1 to 200,000 Guatemalans, which is a massive number that we don't even talk about. And then lastly, I think one more example, just to really show how this Cold War drive created a shift towards U.S. interventionism as being the dominant mode of foreign policy, was food sovereignty across the Caribbean. So a place like Haiti or Haiti was originally food sovereign, meaning roughly 90% of the food they consumed, they also produced themselves domestically, with rice being a corner staple in their diet. So beginning in the early 80s, the Reagan administration crafts what's called the Caribbean Basin Initiative, which essentially forces the privatization of many key sectors in places like Haiti, to where it forced them to import rice manufactured in the U.S., which was cheap because it was being subsidized by the U.S. government. So it was really, really cheap rice that the Haitian government was essentially forced to import, which then got rid of the entire class of Haitian farmers in just about 2 or 3 years. So a country that was once completely food sovereign, in just a few years under Reagan's policies and through his force of coercion and threat of war, this country of Haiti is now forced to be dependent on the U.S. for their food, thus making this capitalist class a whole lot of money, right? And so this is just a few examples. I could keep going. And I think the last one I want to wrap with is the state sponsor of Terrorist, which Cuba is currently on, which is bogus, right? Cuba is a state sponsor of African liberation. Cuba is a state sponsor of decolonization of medical brigades and doctors. But it was Reagan in 1982 who first put Cuba on the state sponsor of Terrorist as a political repressive act. Despite contestation from the UN and international bodies, Cuba has remained essentially on and off that list ever since. Reagan had a very particular thorn for Cuba, obviously because he was anti-communist and anti-socialist, and used Cuba, as you mentioned earlier, for the justification to even invade Grenada.
Woo! Okay, guerrilla intellectual Musa. I appreciate that. No, that was, I learned some things right there. And so I'm actually gonna quote at length from this article, because I feel like this journalist did an incredible job at documenting 40 years after the end of the revolution. It's titled "Forward Ever: 40 Years On from the End of the Revolution and the U.S. Invasion of Grenada."
And can I also too say one of the slogans that came out of the Grenada Revolution was "Forward Ever, Backward Never," which actually traces back to Nkrumah in Ghana. And so I just wanted to, as you said that title, I forgot, we should really highlight that this revolution was Pan-African from the get-go, from the jump, even in the slogan that they chose to move forward with.
You know, I signed all my emails "Forward Ever, Backward Never," because, yeah, the Grenadian Revolution was one of my favorites to study. And the overthrow of the revolution is one of the saddest things. I think, like reading it, it always makes me sad, as if I didn't already know that this was happening or that this happened. So, like, this is a historical event. It feels like something that was very present. And so this article was written by Amy Lee Vaksh, a Caribbean writer, artist, and activist based in Trinidad and Tobago. And she writes, "The arrival of the U.S. military brought a rain of bombings across the forts and leveled a mental health hospital, killing 30 patients and wounding many more." Neville Warner, a tobacco-born son of a Grenadian family, recalls to me how the PRG had built a factory in St. George's to begin producing mango nectar on a large scale for local consumption and export as part of the government's push to localize food production and reduce dependence on imports. The factory was one of the locations bombed as the U.S. troops landed. The space where it stood now hosts a factory producing Coca-Cola. And I'm just going to fast forward a little bit to Cuba in here. So during the invasion, Cubans were rounded up from the Cuban embassy and sent back to their homeland. In November, Fidel Castro would pay tribute to the Cubans killed in Grenada during the destruction of the airport. Quote, "The U.S. government looked down on Grenada and hated Bishop. It wanted to destroy Grenada's process and obliterate its example. It had even prepared military plans for invading the islands Bishop had charged nearly 2 years ago, but it lacked pretext," Castro said in a speech in Havana, and he lauded Grenada's social and economic advances despite the U.S. hostility. And he says, "Bishop was not an extremist," Castro continued. "Rather, he was a true revolutionary, conscientious, and honest. Grenada had become a true symbol of independence and progress in the Caribbean." And so the events that unfolded in Grenada would echo throughout the Caribbean and the world, with a quick military victory secured, the emboldened Reagan administration doubled down on counterinsurgency in Central America, as Musa actually just talked about, with the ruthless regimes in Guatemala and El Salvador, and backing the Contras in Nicaragua. And 6 years after landing in Grenada, U.S. troops would also invade Panama. And the impact of the death of Prime Minister Maurice Bishop and the New Jewel movement, it was great. It had a devastating effect. The island has turned into another vacation spot, enslaving the economy to tourism and the whims of the U.S. and its hegemonic goals, instead of the beautiful jewel that educated its people and believed in equality for all, not just the rich. It is important for us to remember the revolution that has the revolutions that have come before us time and time again as an example that we too can liberate ourselves. And we have a world to win, y'all. Yes, workers of the world, unite. And I think it's important for us to really, I think, highlight the imperialism of the U.S. and that this is something that the U.S. continually participates in their quest for world domination, in their quest for hegemony, that it has not ended with Grenada. The U.S. has continued to stoke, fund, trained coups across the world. They have stoked, flamed, and pushed for regime change all the way even in the Middle East. And they have bombed Africans throughout the continent. And so when we say down with imperialism, we mean it with our full chest and our full hearts. Mm-hmm. And so I want Musa to talk a bit about the Black Lives for Peace's Zone of Peace campaign.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think that when people think there's such a duality when it comes to the Caribbean specifically, because for privileged people in the U.S. and the West, the Caribbean is seen as this place of leisure, of travel, of vacation. You go there and you're able to afford to essentially treat the black and brown people like your little mini servants, essentially, is the way. And I know how y'all act when y'all go there, right? So there's this idea that it's this peaceful place, but U.S. and Western imperialism has never allowed it to fully be a peaceful place. Even right now, the U.S. is conducting war games in the Caribbean with things like Operation Trade Winds, where they pull together militaries and train in the Caribbean. You have multiple military bases throughout the Caribbean. You have arms trades that are funneling U.S. weapons to places like Haiti. You have a extremely violent genocidal 65-year-old blockade against Cuba. And so in 2014, a bunch of heads of states throughout the Caribbean and Latin America came together and said the Caribbean and parts of Latin America must be a zone of peace. No military war games, no imperialist meddling or training, no weapons and arms funneling, no unilateral imperialist sanctions being placed on countries that starve men, women, and children. And in 2022, there was a launch that took place to reinvigorate this Zone of Peace campaign that was originally called for in 2014. And so myself and some others traveled to Havana, Cuba in April of 2022. We had comrades in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, and then we also had comrades in Washington, D.C., and we concurrently launched this campaign. And essentially the idea was, if we want the Caribbean to be a zone of peace, it's one thing to have presidents and prime ministers and state officials calling for it. It's another thing to have civil society groups from the bottom up coming together. Civil society groups means unions, community organizations, cultural institutions, academies and academic institutions, and so forth. And so this is what the Zone of Peace campaign is. And now, just a few years later, this has really gained traction. There's dozens upon dozens of different groups and organizations, civil society organizations across the Caribbean and Latin America who've joined on to this Zone of Peace campaign. And so I think there's so many lessons that we can learn from studying the Grenada Revolution. I think that as we look at imperialism today, we have to understand the past, because it doesn't come out of nowhere. It's built upon the bones of what happened in the past and what we're seeing, right? And so I hope y'all have enjoyed this episode focusing on the Grenada Revolution. And now I believe we're going to pass it over to a quick break for some PSAs before we wrap.
And actually, we're just going to go ahead and wrap here and say thank y'all for listening to WRG and Wrap. And we're going to leave y'all with some PSAs and another revolutionary song, which is What's Your Contribution? Grenadian Revolutionary Song. Peace.
The following is a public affairs bulletin board announcement from your station for progressive information, WRFG 89.3 FM, WRFG.org. The Atlanta Radical Book Fair returns for its annual event at the Auburn Avenue Research Library on Saturday, October 25th from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. The Atlanta Radical Book Fair is a space where progressive politics and literature convene for a day of programming aimed at educating and bringing together those who believe in collective liberation and a good book. There will be a number of local Atlanta independent bookstores and publishers, artists, community organizations, and a schedule of speakers and panel discussion. Once again, that's Saturday, October 25th at 12 p.m. at the Auburn Avenue Research Library on African American culture and history. For a list of programming, the website is AtlantaRadicalBookFair.com or on Instagram at AtlantaRadicalBookFair.
Once your country.